function to function. Justice for the human family, we demand it. Justice, truth, freedom, equality is a must. Us decolonization of the planet, so bust this. People be the power, now we build the justice. Pouring at system divination, how we build the justice. Welcome to planet to the podcast, build the justice. Build the justice, build the justice, build. Is to add on or do away with justice.
Okay, so welcome to the Building Justice Podcast. My name is Maria Elena, and I will be the facilitator for this afternoon discussing parents and their power in politics. And I'm going to let the three guests introduce themselves today.
Hey, my name is Felicia.
What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want to, however you want to introduce yourself, just Felicia.
Just Felicia.
She's also a parent leader.
Oh yeah, what she said.
I'm Crystal, and I live in North Highlands, Sacramento area.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zarina Viewing, and I'm a proud parent leader, and I live in North Hampton.
So I had the pleasure of meeting two of you. I already knew Crystal before PLTI, but I got the pleasure of meeting both Nisha and Zaina while we were doing the Parent Leadership Training Institute. We're the graduates of the first cohort here in Sacramento County. And I just want to know why you all decided to apply to be part of the PLTI program.
Sure, I can go first. So I actually found out about the program through my kids' school. It was at a time when I was, I just finished my master's program. I had some free time, but I was also getting to be more involved in the community. Being an immigrant, being a Black woman, I think coming to a different country, we try to just keep to ourselves and not get involved. But for me, I think it was like during 2020, like the whole George Floyd, racial injustices, that really hit me really hard, having a Black son, having a Black husband. I was like, I need to be more involved. I need to know what's going on out there. So when I saw the flyer for my kids' school, I applied. I wasn't sure what it was about, but I was like, hey, just apply, give it a try.
Awesome.
For me, I joined PLT. I can't even remember where the email came from, but I'm a very curious person. So just, I think, out of interest in wanting to know more about Sacramento as an implant. I'm originally from the Bay Area, so I know how to navigate systems, but I was willing to learn how to navigate Sacramento system and just seeing if I could find a community. So my interest was piqued on what a community in Sacramento would be like and what I would get from this particular course.
Okay. Crystal, would you like to share? No? Okay.
Why did I join? Yeah. I joined PLTI. I received an email from First Five Sacramento. And when I saw the list of topics and subject matter, I was like, ooh, they giving us the game. They laying it out, all the things we need to know to really be civically involved and take some action in our community. So that's why I applied.
So I learned about PLTI while I was at a DLAC meeting for Twin Rivers Unified. The person who runs the face there just kind of handed out this kind of thick stack of papers. And I was like, oh, that looks interesting. I was finishing up my last semester at Sac State, and I wanted to gain more skills in being civically involved. I think I'm already pretty civically involved, but I wanted to learn how to, I guess, up my game. And to see more solutions instead of just thank you for your public comments. So I think the next question I'll ask is, what was your experience like with PLTI?
For me, honestly, I was really raised. Like I said earlier, I've never been involved in like civic stuff. I'm very shy. So I just try to put to myself, go to school, do my homework, go to work, make money, just stay in my own little lane. But main part of PLTI was really eye-opening for me. I got to make a strong connection, meeting like-minded individuals. Just having a lot of resources, like meeting people that are in power, getting involved in community projects. So I learned a lot. And yeah, I was also able to be exposed to an opportunity to join Sacramento Prevention Cabinet through a colleague that I met at PLTI. So it was all a good experience.
That's great.
So is it, what did I get out of PLTI?
Yeah, what was your experience?
My experience for PLTI was very authentic. Going through some hardships at the time, so it was more personal and educational because it gave me a community and a place to reach out to. It also taught me how to navigate. So my experience with the process was interesting and very good and positive and motivating. It kept me moving through what I was going through. So that was something to keep, you know, to keep me pushing, to keep the wheel high and to have support from people that barely knew me. But the support was truly there. So that was an awesome thing to have and to get out of PLTI.
How about you, Crystal? What was your experience like with PLTI?
My experience with PLTI was transformational. It was very powerful to see. Our first retreat was like 30 people? 20 to 30 people in a room, and everybody's like, I'm a leader, I'm doing this, or they were doing whatever they were doing in their lives. But for us to come together and have these conversations about white supremacy, racism, like, we all, y'all still talking about, like, I was a little nervous, but it was so empowering to, like, really have those tough conversations with people who were invested in wanting to do more and wanting to dismantle this system.
Yeah.
These systems that were all impacting us in different ways. So, yeah.
Yeah. My experience in PLTI was, I really enjoyed it. So we had a pretty diverse group, but we had a lot of strong Black women in that room. And that was beautiful to me. But I think, Crystal, you and I had the conversation about how Black women constantly show up for everybody. And like that, I think that work has been proven historically, like even within the civil rights movement, right? So I know there was some conversation around, well, is it, you know, is there too much of one group being overrepresented kind of thing? And my thing is that for me, like, I think, is it Audre Lorde, or I think it was, or maybe it was Bell Hooks, I can't remember right now, but that whatever oppression you allow to happen to someone else, you're allowing to happen to you, right? And so for me, I just look at it as, all of these women showed up because they're not wanting to see oppression happen to them, to their husbands, to their sons. And I think in Sacramento, we love to talk about how diverse we are. But do we really talk about how, even though we're diverse, we have a lot of similar experiences. And if we would just show up for one another, for our most oppressed people, then we wouldn't see a lot of the strife and the struggles that we all have in within those individual pockets of diversity, right? So it was just really amazing to see all of you show up and be willing to be open with that conversation. And never was it like accusatory. I don't know about for the Anglo women in the group, but I can speak for me that it was... I never felt like I was being attacked, and I felt more like I was being given information on how I could better show up and be more supportive. And again, because then that's going to result in more positive outcomes for my community. So why wouldn't I do that? You know, and then the communities that I'm automatically assumed to be a part of as well. I don't consider myself Latina, but everybody puts me in that Latina box. And so as an Indigenous woman, what that means to be marginalized in that group and then put in another group. And so I enjoyed those conversations. Those were huge to me.
And even with that said, the inclusivity that it had, because there was so much diversity. I know at the beginning, like she said, we started out with 27, 28 people, a couple of men in the process.
Mm-hmm.
There were men in the beginning.
Where'd they go?
You know what I mean? But that, so the inclusivity that it was for everybody to actually have it, it's just that it shows you also can stay strong in that. And it's always the end, like you said, the Black women show up for everyone, who really shows up for them. But she do have a few other minorities and then those couple of Anglos that always pop up to show up. So it represented how
actually our country has been running for years, what we ended up developing in those 20 weeks. Mm-hmm. But how we all came together to come for a solution on what we felt and how our minds melded together to make what we've done in that 20 weeks also. It was immaculate. It can't be replaced. It can't be changed.
Yeah.
So it's well appreciated.
I agree.
You tell I yep. Yeah.
So we talked about the, you know, that some of the people weren't able to continue on with the program for whatever reasons. But I think I want to touch on that before we go into our community projects. If you could do PLTI again, would you?
Well, answer that here.
I would, honestly. I definitely would.
I for sure. I would. Even with knowing what I learned, I would go back and do it again. I think it's worth it. It's worth it. It may seem a bit repetitive, but with changes in facilitators and how people think, it'll change, it'll evolve, and you can get something new every time because everybody don't have the same thought process.
Yeah.
Right? So I think even if you take it multiple times, you will come out on it here with different things because you have different folks each time. So I would definitely.
Yeah, I think I would do it again too if I had the opportunity to do it again. Just because of it, you know, I think with some of those other groups I assumed that it was gonna be a certain way. And so for it not to be that way and to have these people like genuinely show up and care and know that they have privileges over other people in that group, I thought it was really great. I was sad when some people stopped coming. Well, when everybody stopped coming, but it was, you know, I think because that first 10 weeks, you spend so much time on the fields, right? Yeah. So it's already hard to let your facilitators go. And then when people that you went through that with are no longer able to participate, it's, you know, you miss them. You want to make sure they're doing okay. But yeah, I would do it again.
Oh, I would definitely do it again. For sure. Yeah. I think that's why I think I'm really appreciative of you all for showing up today and Maria Elena for leading us into this new chapter of our journey as alumni. And like, how do we really, I think, show them how it's done?
Yeah.
And then, like, keep that authenticity going, keep the connection, our network, supporting each other. Like, how do we show them how it's done? So I'm excited for this next chapter, but I would do it again.
Me too. I'm excited for the next chapter too. So part of the 20 weeks was we had to come up with a community project. And so I know they were like, oh, you don't have to be done with it by the end of the 20 weeks and all that good stuff. But I got passionate about y'all's projects. So.
She did too.
Yeah, and so
Alex for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, and I think that was something else I really liked is how like we were all ready to support each other's projects, right? At the end of that. So can I ask about your projects? How are you feeling about them? Is there new progress? Is there supports you need? Building Justice does have a pretty wide net of people. So, you know, you might talk about your community project and there might be someone who's got some buy-in that wants to come, you know, support. So please.
Yeah. So my project, it's about helping immigrants, you know, that are coming to the U.S., how to get them acclimated to resources and help them perhaps get a job, you know, get their social security. Because when I came to the country, I was lost, you know. And it's so funny because I was in America. Everyone wanted to come to America, but I was there. I didn't start belong at all. I wanted to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to go back home. My mom is like, well, I don't have money to buy you tickets from. But I was like, well, I'm going to commit a crime so I can afford it for free.
For free.
Look, but she would tell you that. I was like, it'd give me a free transportation because I didn't care.
Yeah.
That was sexy. It doesn't matter what you had. If you don't feel inclusive, you know, like, I was feeling everything. I was like, why don't I go back home to Sierra Leone, eating bread and butter? that's in Indian America, and I didn't really feel me.
Yeah.
So I don't want anyone else to go through that and have that feeling. So my project is about how do you support people, you know, how do you support someone who's used to the country? How do you make them feel belonged? How do you maybe like just like listen to what they have to, so what they went through mentally. First of all, of adjustments, right? I moved there after high school, right? So of course I know everything back home. My family is there, and coming someplace new, it's like what right is that? At first we're mad at that project. So when I was doing that project in my community where I live now, not that traumatized, I also got caught up. It was like a lot of stuff going on at the time. City council and, you know, trying to be to the for the street. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot going on at that time, so I had to put it forward. So my project really focused on my community. I went to a couple city hall meetings, you know, talked to the mayor and our council member, and so I was so involved, and even supervisor to Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm thankful to PLTI for helping with the resources to the Maria Lera here. And also got me some resources. So it was just a lot going on that I got behind our community project, but I do have resources. I think what I need to do now is just kind of like strategize and put some time. And that's the thing too, time. I want more time. I have two little kids. I'm a wife, you know, I have my commitment. So there's just so much going on that I feel like I need time for my community project. It's like a full-time job.
Yeah.
And unfortunately right now, I don't have that time. I was actually take time before. It's a job. It's time. And I don't have that right now. But I would like to get to a place where I have like a few weeks of work and just do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, right? Even with the grant writing training, it's like, who has time to write a grant?
So for me, my community project is called Soul Parent Lounge. And the idea behind Soul Parent Lounge came from pretty much my own experience of going through hardships and not having a community, not having support, or even though I wasn't from a different country, not feeling like I belong, no inclusivity, not having the resources or knowing how to navigate the systems within the place that you're in. So I decided to make a place where my idea was to have a hub, eventually a building, a lounge, to where parents can have a place to renew whatever, their life stresses, their daily stresses, what they're going through, where we can be real to each other and tell our story of resiliencies, our stories of hardships, how we came through, what we're doing to get through. If someone else has a suggestion that maybe we can get through or two, to have training where we can build financially, where we can build emotionally, you know, and things to have free nights for our parents and eventually have family days and nights and weekends. So more like a community and a place for parents, not kids, just kids or family, but for parents to go to be able to have a relief, you know, somewhere to go just to fit in and have that moment, because you are busy being a wife or a husband and a parent and wearing however many hats. So where we can have a place to lay some of those hats and just wear that relaxed hat for a minute, or sabbatical hat, year 2024, right? So that's my idea behind Soul Parent Lounge. And just to further define, soul means sharing our unique lives. And that's what my intent is behind having this place where we can share our unique lives.
So real quick, Crystal, before you tell us about your project, I just want to say that I remember when Zainab came with that community issue. And like you said, you came into this program just like wanting to learn more, and watching you take that initiative and unite your community was huge. Like, to go from not feeling included to like saying, hey, you know, this is going on and we need to fix it, and can you show up? I was super proud of you. I know we all were. And so it was just really nice to have that support. And honestly, it, like, I know you said you were feeling like you didn't want to be involved anymore after that.
I was like, I'm done.
But because you stepped up, I know what I shared with you when they had talked about selling that piece of land the year before, I was the only one who was opposed to them selling it. So you showing up the following year and putting in all that work really made me feel like they said at the beginning, like I wasn't just getting a thank you for my comment because I had put something on record that could help support you, even though neither one of us got the outcome we wanted with regards to that. It's like that's the power of your voice and your presence and your, you know, putting in your time and your efforts. And then with your parent project, when we talk about community, right, there is such a lack of community, I think, everywhere in this day and age. And that project is, I'm so excited about it to see it come to fruition, because I really feel like that's the place where community is going to start to build. That's where you're going to be able to start to see, like, everybody needs, maybe not a sabbatical, but we for sure need some respite. It's hard to catch your breath sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah. And just being able to find people who maybe like-minded or maybe don't have those skills, but are wanting to get those skills, wanting to build that community, wanting to have play dates. You know what I mean? Like, look at all our babies out there playing right now, different ages, different likes, and they're all playing together, having a good time, you know? So I'm really excited about that.
Connection is important.
It is. And Crystal, do you want to share about your project?
Well, not really.
That might be over for you. Just make sure I don't get anyone out. I'm gonna get
that pretty face.
Yeah, that's right.
That face, that shirt.
I'm still at it. I think I chose something that was near and dear and like current in my life, because I serve on the board for the Park District. It made sense for me to be an ambassador of the district and to promote mental health. to promote what the district had to offer. I mean, from programs to activities to community events, it made no sense why our programs weren't like abundantly full and there weren't wait lists. So that's kind of, it's still happening. My family and I also participate. So when I go to adult volleyball on Mondays, I'm recording like I'm here and come on through and inviting folks. So it's going well. The goal, though, is that our programs are waitlisted. So that's not going too well because they just canceled programs. So
we're
still at it.
So don't complain, people, when there's nothing to do because you aren't showing up. That's I'm saying it. Not Crystal, me, Maria Elena. I said it.
And I was going to say that I appreciate it. When you came with your project, so you aligned your project with what you already had going on, so it really wasn't much extra weight to carry, but it is a lot of weight to carry. But the alignment of what you currently have on and to that project to amplify your area was an awesome intertwining. You know what I mean? So you could keep that going on. It's a continuous project. It wasn't just for, you know, the PLTI thought and process, it is a continuous thing that you can continue to do. So that's what I love about doing it right in this book.
So my project was really about my personal experience. When I was finishing up at the community college, I had an elder ask me, "Why are you here?" And I said, I think about it for a second. I said, you know, I'm a product of two generations of institutionalization, and I chose a different institution. I chose higher ed. Both of my grandparents on my father's side had been in and out of prison my dad's whole life, my part of my life. My father started becoming incarcerated when I was a teenager. So I had originally planned to focus strictly on parents and families that are experiencing ambiguous loss through the institution of prison. But what PLTI taught me was that, like, not everybody's going to care about your project. And so there's so much stigma around people being in prison, even though this country has what the largest population of people in prison. So I had to look at it again. And another argument that I have been making lately is that we lose a lot of brown and black people to the institutions, not only of prison, but of military. Because if you don't want to go into prison, then you're going to go into the military because there's that, you know, that there's that status in being a good patriot. And
safety net.
Mm-hmm. There's that safety net, too. And then unfortunately, you know, between substance abuse and mental health issues and generational trauma, we lose people to mental health institutions. So I decided to include those two institutions with regards to ambiguous loss. And so my project is focusing on using art therapy to keep families connected while one parent is unable to be in the home. So that way, when they do return to the home, it's not as difficult for them to be reintegrated into the home. And the reason why I chose art was because I didn't want something in all three of those institutions, to some respect, those people are having to put their safety and well-being at the forefront. So I didn't want to do one more. I didn't want to give them one more thing to stress about. And so I thought art, for me, while I was in school, I had a couple projects that involved art that really allowed me to process some heavy material. So I thought art is a really good way to get people to work through some things, and then they can exchange that art, right? Like I tell you what my favorite thing to do on a summer day is, and then I draw that. And then my child tells me what their favorite thing to do on a summer day is, and they draw that. I send that home to them. They send it to me where I'm at. I've got a little piece of artwork, and I've got a little bit of new knowledge about my child that I may not have got even if I was home.
Right.
So, I'm still in the process of getting that going. And then I've got to shop it out to different organizations that work with people in all three of those institutions, and then just start getting families connected and get them working on it.
Awesome. That is awesome.
It's awesome.
And I like the art. A lot of people are going to the heart, like you said, for that healing, because it allows a space in the room for growth and to express yourself without judgment.
Yeah.
I like that connection. We send it to the parents, send it back. We can have a piece of that information of both. Because that is an awesome idea. I like
that. Yeah. So, like, we weren't allowed to send pictures.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because. What?
No.
So.
Back, especially back then.
But they don't have a platform.
Right? No.
Well, now there's a lot of things are changing.
Retaliate against you in some way. They can come after your loved ones. And so.
You got that picture.
To keep people safe, it's better not to send in pictures.
Yeah,
for you, but you miss out on so, like, just the stages of their
main.
These can count.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like I said, for me, it was a safety issue.
And it makes a lot of sense because outside don't understand what goes on.
Not at all.
Yeah.
You know,
not
and that's how come a lot of people get trapped up, because we start out here. And when they do get caught up and go inside the institutionalized, they're on the outside thinking, not what happened on the inside.
You know?
And then you get all mentally broken down because you have to get broken down in there. You can't keep your outside mind mentality inside of there.
Well, there's right now,
it's ran a completely, what politics, what democracy?
Same
you
thing.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like, you're no longer in your hood. It's no longer Kansas. You have hit outer space. You've hit another galaxy.
There are rules and regulations.
And they're not the rules that you're used to living by. It's not the societal rules. It's not, society don't govern what happens inside of the institution.
And it, like,
and it's the same thing for the military, and it's the same thing for those mental health institutions.
In the military.
Yeah.
Governing when you can call, where they ain't even telling you where they at. You can't even contact your members because it's so secret, so private, to keep everybody's safety at hand, right?
Yeah.
But whose safety is it really keeping?
I think that's what I appreciate about PLTI, too. Like, just not new from different perspective, but in my own little bubble, I'm exposed to what else is happening, what you're going through, what she's going through. But I feel like I've learned and grown so much. And also, like, not being born and raised there, like, I don't know how things are. So I'm so thankful for PLTI, just hearing everything you're sharing. And I think me and Jennifer were like, wait, what? Like, a coffee for, like, black people. I was like, wow,
yeah.
What's that? You know, like,
a lot of areas, and it's like people don't know. So this is what I tell a lot of people that want to move, even out of California. When you go to a different place, you have to learn what their rules, their laws, their regulations are, especially what's pertaining to whatever your ethnicity or your culture is. It's different in everywhere. Everywhere in America is different. You go in some states and you get treated this way. You go in another state, you get treated that way.
Yeah.
What are the rules? What do they run by?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They do. There's a disturbance or there's a noise ordinance everywhere I go in California. Some people go by in some people's neighborhoods, you got to be cool where they know things go on and they don't trip off of. But all it takes is one person that's outside of that normal community to do something. Yeah. And then you're going to see how much of a noise. You never knew that place had a noise ordinance.
Right.
But that one person came and did something and it just lit up the whole everything. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to know, learn where you're trying to go to before you decide that's what you want to do. And we just jump into everything as humans. We're going to go in. We got this. We know what we're doing. But I like the PLTI. And like you said, it gave you guys history, a little bit of history. And for me, even though I knew some things and I know a lot, but it's always wonderful to hear everybody else's experience. If they went through things on the same level that I went on, how they handled it. And maybe I went somewhere before them and I laughed because, ha, 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 this is why I'm placed here because I went through this. And, I might just shed some light on what. Or, ha, 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 that person went through that already. Maybe I need to talk to them. So it opens your minds to different perspectives, different cultures, different ways of life and thought processing. You know, not placing yourself on a pedestal or, like you said, being in that bubble, but it's allowing you to have an expansive type of knowledge. You know what I mean? Because I also have friends, not just not where he from. I don't think it's CLL, but he's Ethiopian, I think. And he just brought his wife here, and she just had a baby. So he was like, "Oh, I don't even know how to. What do we do?" So ironically, when you came into the system, I've known him before you, a couple of years before you got here. Met him when I first came to Sacramento, Lyft driver. You got here, you were reaching like, "Oh, I needed to know these type of things." And ironically, he was calling me at the same time, like, "Oh, do you know about this system or?" What system? And I was like, "Oh, well, yeah, let me help you with this and that." And I'm going to listen to you too because I can hear what you're saying.
Right.
But I can also, I have a friend that's also from here and there, and they went through this avenue.
Yeah.
You know, so it was helping me help someone else as well that didn't have access to PLTI like I did, to have access to a Zyde Knob who had a community project and helping to matriculate and acclimate new people. You know what I mean? So that was a good resource, a good way to. We all helped out and reached out to each other in each other's community projects as well.
Yeah. Learning from each other.
Always. Learning is nothing.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that all our minds were melded into that pot that we had, and we all had different minds.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't allow ourselves to subject what we felt or thought because someone else didn't think how we thought.
Yeah.
And y'all might think the weird part, it was weird, but something interesting to me is I enjoyed when we got into conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Had disagreement.
It wasn't disagreement. It was debate.
I loved it because
camera.
No, this still on you. Because when I thought it over, it was too far.
I can't hear you.
But we had just because that's life, right? Mm-hmm. Even with family or loved ones or neighbors, we're gonna not see eye to eye on every single thing.
And you're not supposed to.
That's why I love it. People are like, okay, I'll see you next week, right? Like we had this conversation, but that's it. You aren't your way, I feel my way, or whatever it is. But I'll see you next week.
Even if we didn't say we knew we would see each other next week, and say for whatever reason that person didn't show, you like, dang, why did he come?
Yeah.
I was concerned. No, you're thinking, dang, I hope what I said last time didn't make them not show up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you got concerned and you got worried, like, oh, or then when you saw somebody come in and you felt that their vibe wasn't. That was something else that we had. I don't know about you guys, but I sensed everybody's vibe and aura coming in. I could kind of tell if we were going to have one of those days or if you weren't going to have one of those days, if you were going to participate. You know what I mean? I could kind of tell.
For depending what time Zyna came, hey, she must have had a long day today.
Maybe I shouldn't say, but if one of the special facilitators showed up, who was going to get into it with that person and that day?
So... I'm glad you bring that up because I'm not throwing anybody out under the bus, but like when we had those conversations, it seemed like the facilitators were more uncomfortable with us having those conversations than we were. To their credit, though, I will say that is one thing that they were really good about was checking in with people, both as it happened and then the following week, just as being one of those people who... had an issue. And then they don't have all of the cultural knowledge. So being open to learning that, I thought was really nice on their part.
If we're being candid, I think they were more nervous about where it would have went if they intervened. If they intervened in the conversation, because you mentioned in the beginning, it was a lot of color, African American, Black people, and they avoid one particular way or the other. So with us having the type of conversations, white supremacy, racism, what systems work for whom, privilege over non-privilege, if they jump in a conversation, which one of us folks of color, we're going to have the type of reaction they weren't ready to deal with. So instead of coming to that confrontation, we're going to let it ride to see how it plays out. And since every time a conversation is had, that we were all responsible adults, even though we had our cultural differences,
yeah,
we were wise enough and experienced enough not to let that fold into the violence that they may have been thinking it would lead to. Right?
Yeah.
So they allowed the conversation to go because we didn't let anything come past.
Yeah.
This is just us expressing what we've been
through. The blue ones are...
No, I'm not riding on you. Yeah. I'm just expressing what I've seen.
Yeah.
I think it was more from a confrontational point they didn't want to get involved in because they didn't have that kind of experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
No one could say anything to interact or intervene in what we felt or what we experienced as marginalized.
Yeah.
Groups.
Yeah.
They didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really react to it. I better just let it play out. As long as nobody get into it, as long as it doesn't nothing physical happen.
I did my job today.
Woo, we good. And next week we just come back and go, are you guys good? Everything okay with you? Ooh, no, you know, we didn't have any. No, everything's fine. We're great.
Yeah.
And they're happy.
But what we learned from the training, the national training, is there are groups that have to incorporate some cultural feats.
Yeah.
Like the Native.
White Earth Nation. So, yeah.
Yeah, like,
I'm pretty sure.
They had to, they realized they couldn't just jump in, like how we jumped in.
Yeah.
Jumped in, talking about heavy off top. Yeah, some of them are like, nah, but we have to restructure.
That's why I said they realized once they let it go, we didn't take it to a physical standpoint.
Yeah.
We kept it with experience, knowledge, and intellect. And if we got upset, we shut down.
Yeah.
So it wasn't never like, ah, it was like,
yeah. Yep.
You might be sitting up with somebody with their arms folded the rest of the class.
I shut down.
You might have had an attitude with somebody on their hands, on their face, or their arms folded for the rest of the class.
Yeah.
There was never anything physical.
Yeah,
and by the end of the class, everybody had that lifted off their shoulders. We were in our hand circle.
Right.
And feeling a positive vibe.
Yeah.
It was nothing ever. You know,
it was more great times than those.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'm like, but every time we had an issue, this is why it was more a great time. Because if there was an issue in a class, more than likely, 9 times out of 10, the 2 people that had the issue by the time the end of class happened, they didn't have a conversation. Nobody telling them had.
Yeah.
And by the end of class, it's all cool and kosher.
Yeah.
That if
it's
being talked about, everybody's like, yeah, good. What you mean? What you talking about? Oh, we're talking. I'm dealing with that.
Yeah.
So it's like an afterthought. So that's what I mean by our minds being experienced enough not to let the physical connection become violent.
Yeah.
We had more of a connection to where we wanted to be. One.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
The day that I saw that Marianela was like, set of it. You know, I think that we're so respectful of everyone that
you
saw, but somebody hung. Don't think that to anyone. Well, you know what I mean? Get like, just like, hey, you're fine. I think that would be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, don't.
Yeah.
And it kind of happened ever since the first day we met. I don't know if y'all paid attention, like she said, at a retreat, it was that many people, but only certain people kind of connected.
Uh-huh.
And from day one, certain people kind of connected.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying necessarily everybody.
I was drained.
I was drained.
Okay. It wasn't just me. Okay.
So
a retreat.
When I first got there.
So much.
It was.
And then we had to talk to her. We were about to do this.
You know, I got into it with somebody.
She's
trouble. I was trouble, but I was trouble enough to weave out who didn't need to stay. And it wasn't intentional. No. Because even though that person and I, again, we had an issue.
Uh-huh.
I was trying not to speak to that person after that to make it that. But they came to me and wanted to think they wanted to talk it out. Right? No, they thought they wanted to talk it out. And even though I was nice and approached them, they still took it a certain kind of way. And they felt the way. They continued to come, but for whatever reason, they fell off. Everybody that made it through certain process, whether they got into it with somebody or had a debate on their own, it was a weaving process. Who's going to be able to withstand whatever's being dished at them regardless? So I had to face not only that particular thing, but my facilitator is really not standing up for me at that time. You know what I mean? I felt like I had to back down and I wasn't really necessarily needed. And until they really looked at it to see that I was feeling that way, to say, come here, let me talk to you, pull you to the side and see what's really going on. Yeah. They didn't understand. They didn't know anything. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like it was a wait and see process. So they didn't know how to handle the outcome of what they, the diversity, so much diversity that they had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Which is funny because they want a diverse group.
But they didn't understand what it means to have, you want a diverse group, but you don't know what it is to have a diverse group all at once.
We're so passionate, you know? Like,
Yeah.
And experience that we were willing to share. So it's not that we had the fashion, we were willing to share with fashion.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, because bringing it back to when you thought I was upset with you, and it had nothing to do with that. It had been the material that we were working on, a loss I had experienced, and just like I was over it, because sometimes, like you pointed out, you're not telling us like what you want us to do. So then I'm sitting here frustrated, like, okay, this is what I'm confused on, what you want me to do. And then you're having me look at some stuff that is hitting really close to home for me. And it was just like, and all you did was ask a question. And because I was already frustrated, I just like, I didn't answer in the nicest way that night, you know, which was disappointing to me, because I should be able to move past my emotions. But that was a big loss for me. And I'm still trying to process that. So it was just like, I was just not in the mood, and I wasn't going to I've only left class one time, and that was because it was very much a cultural thing, and there was no being able to have that discussion with the other person. And that's just because that's how I was raised. So they were automatically right, even if I felt they were wrong, kind of thing. You know what I mean? So, so I had to walk away that night. But other than that, like, yeah, I appreciated the opportunity. When you talk about more good times than bad times, no matter what, none of us grow as people without some type of adversity, right? Yep, without some type of bad experience. So there was no way for us to get the most out of that program without having those bad times, in my opinion.
I agree.
Totally agree.
So we're almost at the hour mark. That went by fast. So I just, if there's anything else you want to share, but I want to thank you all for making time to come out today and have this discussion. And I still want to know how your community projects are progressing.
I will share my last piece and then tell about the community project. The last thing I would say is what I don't want to say didn't like, but as you mentioned, how they lacked expressing what they wanted from it by trying to tell us about the activity, but not tell us what they want us to know, thinking that they will persuade us or manipulate our thought process. So I guess not having enough trust in our own thought processing as individuals, that's what I felt like every time I made a complaint about, boy, you're not giving us direction on how to complete this process. Because we're grown, you want to know where we are, let us give you what we are going to give you, and then let's integrate from that. If we're not going in the angle that you want us to, then you go, okay, well, I see where you guys are coming from, but we wanted to lean more toward if something like this happened to you. You know what I mean? So it's like get directional after you see where the base is. That would be the only thing I would say for me, forthcoming, should be a little bit more receptive to where someone's baseline is and how you can go from there to develop. Not saying that you have to give them the direction, but let them tell you where they are so you can guide them along the direction that you want them to.
So trust the participant, just like you want the participant to trust the process.
And then for my community project, if you know, a building is always nice, a place to actually have access to, so a building for hubs for workshops and place like that, you know, always have resources for resource books. I'm trying to put together to make sure I have resources available and separated, you know, supplies like card separator for tankers and things like that. So office supplies, a building or access to a space, things like that.
Can I give you a suggestion, especially with those office supplies? Soul Parent Lounge wish list on Amazon. Yeah.
I'm going to show. Go ahead and do
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, you know, I'm literate in technology,
But me standing on there for hours isn't my thing. So if someone guides me in a certain direction, I'm not just on there all day with nothing to do, or, you know, I do music and stuff like that. But if it was like you just gave me that resource and I knew where to go to, then I would look and be able to do some things. So thank you for that. I will look into trying to find a resource for that. I mean, that's awesome.
Anybody else?
One thing I wish we would have done more of is talking about the personal, like the individual and like wellness and healthy, like parents and stuff. And then if they would have even like did an event for us, just the parents to like play or have fun or go out. I don't know. I just feel like that would have been
like the string thing. They should have done more of that. When we were growing,
connected. That was the show.
Like an event, like a picnic from
That's why Soul Care allowed.
Yes,
and the only Soul Care now, you can have things like Sisters of Soul, who does that, where you have that Soul Weekend and that Soul Roll, or those events that you have, so where you can have that type of community connection that you're looking for.
The thing is, they're talking about some heavy, heavy topics, and they're talking about civics and leadership and being in positions of power, running for office. That shit's heavy. Excuse my language, but that's a lot. And I don't think they really share with us kind of like how important it is. Time, like our time management, like making ourselves a priority. Like, I think you're talking about baseline. Some of us don't even know what rest is.
But that,
you know what I mean? Like, those are some real laws.
Like, and I'm
think
one that, of those
that if we would have wove that in or included some of those in,
of course,
it allowed us to rest when we were at like PLT, like during class, like 30 minutes of like just chat.
Sophie and I,
but we were so on like, we gotta go, curriculum, time, which I'd give, but I think it was also important for us to, you know, just be with each other.
So I had a proposal or maybe even a suggestion for you guys to take back to the community. That maybe the alumni, the ones that aren't a facilitator or site, can coordinate on a weekly basis, right, to have that in-person conversation, right? That personal touch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the additive. So if they do need to debrief after that extra session of that long session of whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that would be an opportunity for the alumni to participate and feel connected to what we started. And, you know, progress forward with the other cohorts. Then you keep, that's how you'll keep your retention in your alumni and the participation.
I think that's a good idea. Just like we have alumni that have become facilitators for certain weeks. Like, why don't we have alumni come back and be a check-in person for the first 10 weeks, a check-in person for the next 10 weeks?
You know, like they got daycare every day, right?
Yeah.
So let me 10 minutes or so before your class is supposed to go, you got the 10 minutes for that debrief before you do your circle. Then maybe some people want to go talk to somebody, another one of the old peers or one of the
somebody who's been through it. Been somebody through. Who had to already process those emotions and those thoughts.
Yes, and have that available, and then go back and hit the circle and send your people off or whatever. Because I done let all of that heavy stuff off my chest. I might get think about one word that I feel after.
Yeah.
I done let all that stuff.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? So I think that'd be good.
I think doing it before survey would be good, because you'd probably get more impactful survey information because you've given them a brief opportunity to process that information. Instead of talking about, here, fill out this survey now.
But mind you, fill out the survey while we're still doing class.
Yes.
All the penalties and the rewards based on the actions. Now, time for building justice. Building justice.